Romans 8:14. Let's look it up. God is good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Today I want to be just very practical. I've been studying the Word of God. And something that I've never noticed before, it will appear very obvious to you perhaps, but I believe that God has shown me that true Christianity is almost unknown. And therefore, I want to emphasize today that which the Holy Spirit has been showing me, where it is we have misunderstood what Jesus did. Now, this whole area of service, of hospitality, of love, of giving, of sacrifice, of voluntarily taking what I have and bestowing it on another, of not doing what is convenient, of taking my wealth and throwing it away for you. This whole area has been extremely, many sermons have been given on it, but it hasn't been put into practice. Hello. Now, America is known perhaps as the most giving country that has ever been on the face of the earth, and I'm sure that's true. Nevertheless, it's like the widow's mite. Americans have given out of their abundance. Americans have given out of their abundance, but they have not given out of their heart. Hello. I'm talking about the American Christians now. The Americans have given out of their abundance. That is, I know there are many, many Christians who have given sacrificially, but unfortunately, many of those that have given sacrificially are not the majority. And they're not usually those who are in positions of power. They're usually average people whom only heaven records and knows about. Hello. Hello. Before you leave today, I want to speak to everybody's heart. I'm not interested in just changing your thinking a little bit or making a nice, interesting sermon, but to talk about what really is Christian, because I myself have not understood why I have not been understood, and now I understand why I have not been understood. Because this thing is so radical that what we do is we use Christianity to a certain extent, but we don't go all the way. And therefore, it's as good as nothing. I'm going to say that again. As far as Mexico or Mozambique or Fort Worth or our own church is concerned, a little bit is not good enough. Hello. I'd like a few more amens. A little bit is not good enough. But I always understood that somewhat. But I never grasped it, how powerful it is in the New Testament, that the whole difference between Judaism and Christianity lies at this point. The whole difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament lies at this point. That the whole difference between Jesus and all the prophets that preceded Him lies at this point. The thing that's different about Christianity is not its doctrines and great new noble thoughts. It's practice. It's concrete, everyday love where it's very practical. This is where Christianity has failed. We have failed as a church to reach out to the neighborhood, to the world, to the people right in our own midst. Now, I know we've done something. Someone will say, well, are you saying we haven't done anything? No. Certainly, we are not living on such a crude and primitive level that we're living in utter sin. We have advanced to the stage of religion. Hello. We have advanced to the stage of religion, and that's a good advance. That's a wonderful advance. Praise God. To move out of base, selfish life into giving toward others. But that's not the New Testament. That's not the New Testament. That's not the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament people were called to be a light to the nations. They were called to be different than everyone else. And so Israel constantly was to live more justly, more fairly, more lovingly, more kindly toward the neighbor. Now, In Assyria, they were noted for their hunting and killing. The whole Assyrian nation. Every picture, every piece of literature, everything we have from that nation, killers. So Israel was a contrast. Egypt is known for all of its splendor and, you know, the gods of the hippopotamus and cats and, you know, frogs and all this kind of thing. But Egypt had nothing besides beauty. Hello? It's a beautiful place. But it had no humanity. Christianity was preceded by Judaism. It was God's people were to be a light to show the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans. They were to show them how to live, but they only did it to an extent. So that by the time Jesus came and said, I am the true Jew. I am what God's been talking about for 2,000 years since Abraham, they killed him. Not the Romans, not the Assyrians, not the Egyptians, not the Babylonians, but his own people killed him. Because he was saying, it's more than what you're doing. He was saying, you're not doing enough. Hello. He was saying, no, that's not quite it. And Jesus, you see, came among us as a humble one. Humble. Now, my first point today is this, that God exalts the humble. That's my first point. God exalts the humble. 1 Peter. God exalts the humble. Before you really can understand what Christianity is all about, you must enter into the humble category. You must not be in the exalted category. You must be in the humble category. What does that mean? What does humble mean? It means to put yourself under the Word of God. It means that you are totally dependent upon God. It means that you are totally looking to God as your only source. It means you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble. 1 Peter 5. God always exalts those that are humble. Now, if we are truly Christians, God will exalt us. If we humble ourselves under Jesus Christ, under the Word of God, under God's hand, then He's going to exalt us. Now, I'm going to come back on that point in a minute, but let me just move on. The second point is that those who are exalted by God because they humbled themselves, those that are humble, God exalts. Those that are humble, that humble themselves under the Word of God, those that humble themselves under the Word, that is, they obey the Word. They do what the Word says. They begin to do what the Word says. God exalts them. He makes them powerful. He lifts them up. He causes them to be high, to be rich, to be knowledgeable, to have abilities and strengths and all kinds of things. Why? Because in Christ, we have all things. What we have, the world needs. What do we have? Christ. The world doesn't need goods. Coca-Cola. That's big in Mexico. That's big all over the world. That's not what they need. You can buy them for 10 cents, by the way, in Mexico. That's pretty cheap. How was the last time you had a 10-cent Coke? You know, everything is cheap down there. So if you're just interested in commercialism, you know, you can do rather well. The peso kept dropping even while we were there. So we could buy a lot of things. If that's what you're interested in, then that's the place to go. But you see, God has exalted us, not so that we can look down on and destroy, but so that we who have humbled ourselves, who have been exalted by God, may find our truest dignity in giving away freely what we have. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, this is not a matter of convenience. It's not a matter of something you know. You have to do this by faith. You can't wait to be inspired. You say, oh, Pastor, you're inspiring me to want to go out and serve my neighbor. No way. You never get inspired to serve a neighbor. There's no inspiration. It's just plain flat perspiration. There's nothing. It's tough. It's hard. Because what Jesus did is not giving out of His abundance. You say, God has given me so much. Here I have $100. I'm going to give 10. I'm going to give the tithe. Robert talked about this last time. I will give the tithe. No, this is not Christianity. That's Judaism. Hello? Religion is giving the tithe. Out of my abundance, I have 90%. I'll give 10% to God. No, this is not it. Now, I want you to understand what Christianity is. That's religion. Religion demands the tithe. Even for Christians, that remains. But you see, God has not called us just to be religious. This is the difference between New Testament Christianity. All right, here's Jesus. Jesus came among us. What did he do? He humbled himself. You remember how he was born? He humbled himself. What did God do? He exalted him. God exalted him. He lifted him up. What did Jesus do with all his exaltation? He had powers, he had gifts, he had everything. He had things to give. What did he do? How much did Jesus give? You see, you say, well, that's ridiculous. That's not practical. Let's look at Luke chapter 21. And he looked up, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. Now you see, when you give up something, 10%, let's say, it's not a big deal. It's kind of like fasting. It's good for the body. You know, it disciplines you. Oh, I have to give 10% to God. It's a good discipline. How many know that it works? How many know it's a blessing in it? You know, there's no question about it. Ever since I became a serious Christian, I've been tithing and double tithing and so on. It's fun. It's actually a joy to give. But it's not a sacrifice. Now, Christianity has to do with voluntarily, happily, joyfully, wonderfully giving all that's necessary to bless someone else. Not saving as much as I can and then giving out of my abundance. You see the difference? You see, Jesus had everything, and because he knew that his source was in God, he knew that if he gave everything away, he'd still have everything. Right? Hello? He knew that if he gave everything away, he'd still have plenty. Now, God doesn't say you have to give away everything. He's only interested in one thing. Do you care for the neighbor? He's not interested in the amount you give, but he is interested in whether your heart is toward the neighbor or whether it's selfish toward yourself. See, it isn't the amount, whether the widow gave two mites or whether the other man gave $10,000 or whatever. It isn't the amount. It's obviously they did not give to the point where it hurt them. There was no sacrifice involved. Have you given sacrificially? One thing that we don't do in this church is we don't save money. Well, you say you don't have very much, and that's why everything you get in, you have to spend. That's true. But actually, we could live with a little bigger balance behind us. But we don't. We give it away. We spend it. We use it. You know why? Because then we have to depend on God. I tell you, it would be so easy to just save up a bit, and then we would have some power. You see? Rather than depend upon you to keep giving. Hello? Hello? It takes faith to keep spending and saying, well, what if we don't get a big offering next week? Hello? We have never told you, well, maybe once or twice, but basically we don't tell you, we just pray. But the point is we're totally dependent upon God. And we don't want to ever change that. We're going to keep spending. The more we get in, we're going to spend. Now, that doesn't mean we're working with abundance. We have an abundance in this church. I personally have an abundance. We have lots. We've been blessed beyond measure. You go to Mexico and you see these people live in a little house that's as big as this, just this little part of the stage here. It's a one-room thing. You walk in, there's a door and there's a window, and there might be a door out in the back. And it's just made out of bricks that are stacked together, and there's a tin thing on the roof. You know. And there might be a bed in there, and there might not be a bed in there, and there might be a table. And there's, you know, 12 people in there. And they don't have any gardens. They have no gardens. And the sewer, you have to step over the sewer to get there. And it smells. You know. Now, the thing is, it isn't just going down. Now, we could go down and fix the sewer for them. And I've even thought of starting a concrete factory. You know. There's a lot of things you could do. That's not what they need. The abundance that they need from us is not dough. They don't need money. They don't need things. That's nothing. That's just something taken for granted. What they need is Jesus. You see, what we have to give is we have miracles. What we have to give is everything we've got. You see, the sign of being a Christian is total, not tithing. Hello? It isn't tithing. That's out of your abundance. Tithing is Old Testament. It's New Testament also, but it's just taken for granted. We're talking sacrificial. You know why this world will never be reaped? Because we don't care. Hello? We're not real servants. We're not real servants. Now, here's the thing. The thing is, I can't force somebody, twist their arm and say, you got to give. No one's going to give for that reason. But I want you to understand what Christianity is. You can make up your own mind. We don't need anything. We don't need a thing. We're not hurting. The thing is, this is what man is. He's a giver. Only Jesus introduced this. Now, let me give an Old Testament story, then a New Testament story. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Joseph. How many remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was the last child. There was one more after him, but he was basically the last child at the point of the story. Now, Joseph was the apple of his dad's eye, and he came from Rachel. He was the only one that she had until she later had Benjamin. Joseph then was the small one, the least one. And the other brothers, they were a lot older. You remember he had 10 older brothers. And they, little Joseph, the father was so excited about having little Joseph that he began to spoil him. So he's a spoiled little kid. And if you read the story, you get the idea. He had the coat of many colors. And, you know, he got his father's attention. And the father really liked the kid more than the other 10. Okay? Now, how many know that's you? How many realize, don't think of your earthly family, think of God. You have been blessed beyond measure. You've been spoiled by God. Hello? A lot of you are complainers and gripers like the 10 older ones, but you've been spoiled. Now, if you humble yourself under that and receive it, the thing in life is not to possess, it's to enjoy. You can't possess your husband, but you can enjoy him. You can't possess pastor, but you can enjoy him. You can't possess people, but you can enjoy them. You can't even possess possessions, but you can enjoy them. You know? If you try to grasp something, you lose it. Be loose. At any rate, Joseph enjoyed all the favor that his father gave him. And because he humbled himself under the word of God, God gave him a vision that he would be exalted. He saw this vision where the rest of his family bowed down to him and so on and so forth. He had a vision of something very high. Now, God is training all of us, isn't he, for exaltation. Every one of us is being trained for the world to come that you may rule and reign, correct? But the Bible says, in this life. Now, the Bible says in this life you are to rule and reign. Now, how are you to rule and reign? Well, Joseph was told that this was going to happen. It was an unconditional thing, but the condition was believe it. And he did. And so for the next 20 years after hearing that story, he told his mom and dad, he said, you know, dad and mom and brothers, gather around me. I've just had a vision from God. Y'all are going to bow down and serve me, and I'm going to bless y'all. He says, God has chosen me to bless y'all. You know, you can imagine that little squirt, you know, piping up like that. He said, you know, this come from God. And they had a difficulty believing him. You know, he was the least likely one. They didn't believe him. Now, the next 22 years of his life, he went, you know, into a pit, into prison, you know, all kinds of problems. So 22 years after God spoke to him, he still hadn't heard from God. How many know that's typical? When you hear something from God, when God says he'll exalt you, he means in his own time. He does not mean today. God does not mean today. If you've been exalted, that was something that, you know, didn't happen today. Hello? Hello? It takes generations, it takes years, it takes a long time. Now, God was preparing this man, and so finally when Joseph got to the top, he really wasn't thinking about his brothers, but a famine came along, and his brothers ended up bowing down to him and coming and, you know, fulfilling the whole scripture. Now Joseph, instead of getting even with them for what he had done, Joseph is a type, a picture, a shadow of the New Testament. That basically he took all that he had. What did Joseph had? He had everything in Egypt. He took all of Egypt and he laid it at his brother's feet. You see, he didn't lord it over, but he served his brother. Now here's the second point. Only a great man can be a servant. Only the greater can serve the lesser. You see, if you're lesser, you can't serve the greater. Only the greater can serve the lesser. Only someone who has something can lay it voluntarily at the feet of the lesser. Never happens in this world. People in this world do not give you something for nothing, right? I mean, you got to think about that for a minute. Being Christian, we tend to get all confused. But think about it in the real world. In the real world, nobody cares for you. Nobody cares for you. I don't care. Anybody who does you a deal, tell you what I'm going to do, you know, and they do some deal for you. They'll get you in the back, right? Does everybody know that? I hope no one here is naive enough to think that anybody cares for you. Nobody cares for you. Stop complaining about it. That's the way it is. Now, Christians, on the other hand, are called, they're the only people, Christians don't care either. But Jesus Christ, who lives in them, does. You don't care either. There's no one here that can say, because I've become a Christian, I care. You don't. You're just being religious. Hello. I care more than so-and-so. No, you don't. You don't care at all. I used to not care, but now I do care. Wrong. You don't care. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. He's the only one that cares. I don't believe you. Pastor, you know, my heart, I've always been a caring person. Nonsense. You've been a lying person. Nobody cares. Jesus cares. Oh, in my family, I was always the one that... No. Uh-uh. It's just fakery. It's just hypocrisy. You're a hypocrite. You're not a caring person. You don't care, and no one cares for you. That's the way it is. God cares. 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 Now, stop all the nonsense about, well, I'm going to wait to be inspired. You're never going to be inspired. This is who you are. This is who God is. God says that He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, so that you can give away as the greater one everything you have. Not some of what you have, not the tithe, everything that you have to the lesser. Now you see, as long as there's the lesser in the world, a lesser is anyone who needs something that you have. Needs something that you have. They might need healing. They might need Jesus. They might need salvation. They might need a friend. They might need food. Whatever it is they need, you must give it as a Christian. Now, it's not you, it's Jesus. He's only looking for people that he can give through. Jesus has everything, and he's looking for some people that he can exalt so he can lift them up, so he can give them miracles and love and money and houses and time and talents and so on, so that they can come down and give it away. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're not here to raise families and be happy. Hello. We're not here to raise families and be happy. We're not here just to be, you know, all the stuff that people say they're here for is wrong. You're here to serve. You're here to be inconvenienced and do it with joy. You do it with a smile. I appreciate Byron on this trip. We had to give out Bibles, and there was one street left, and sometimes you had to walk a long, long way to get back to the car, mile maybe. And the leader asked Byron, you know, to go back up to this one street and take some Bibles, and he said, I'm tired. It's not convenient for me. I don't want to do it. And the guy made up some little story about, you know, don't feel sorry for yourself kind of thing, and little girls have done it and this kind of stuff. And I appreciate that Byron didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it either. I mean, I appreciate that. Do you see? There's no goodness in him. Wasn't being good. Great Christian going down to Mexico handing out Bibles. But he got up and did it. And forgot that he didn't want to do it and just went and did it. He said, you know, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. That's great. You see, that's the way you should be. That's Jesus. That's Christianity. That's faith. That's faith. Don't pretend like you're going to be inspired, you know. I wasn't inspired either, sitting there, you know. But the greater has the opportunity to serve the lesser. If you have something, if you have anything, give it away. Use it for the neighbor. And you see, it doesn't count unless it hurts. It doesn't count unless it's a sacrifice. It doesn't count if you're giving out of your abundance. That's not Christianity. That's only religion. Religion, religion, religion. Religion is kind. Religion practices a little bit of love. Religion keeps you, you know, from losing your automobiles while you're in the church here. Religion, you know, is a good thing, isn't it? It helps civilization keep alive. Religion is not what this world is all about. Jesus did not come to give religion to the world. Hello? He came actually to destroy religion. He came to replace religion with what it was supposed to really be. You see, the Joseph story tells us that here's a man exalted who had all of Egypt at his disposal. He had all the power of Pharaoh. And yet instead of hurting his brothers, instead of just giving them a little bit, Joseph actually gave everything of Egypt to them. You see that? Jesus had all of, not Egypt, but heaven. Jesus was actually the owner of everything in heaven. And he came down here to show us what true religion is. This is Christianity. That he gave his time. He gave his talents. He gave his treasures. Whatever it is, he gave it. Now, let's look here in chapter 22. This is all about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just relax. I want you to get a hold of this in practical terms. Jesus says in verse 15, I have desired to eat the Passover with you. What's the Passover? The Passover was a Jewish religious festival, which the Jews never understood, where they would kill an innocent lamb in order to pay for the sins of guilty people. Take a little lamb that hadn't done anything wrong. It was 1 year old. It was beautiful. It was blemishless. Take this lamb and kill it because someone sinned. That was Passover. And so the lamb had to go all alone. Couldn't go with his buddies. Couldn't go with the flock. Had to just be killed alone. Each one had a lamb, you see. Each household would have a lamb. So Jesus came and he said, you know, I have longed, I've looked forward to this, I've desired it with all I've had to die. I want to be the Lamb of God for you. I've got so much in heaven, I'm so rich, I've got so much, and I see you people don't have what I have. I want to give what I have to you. I want you to have what I have. I want you to have just what I have. You can't have more because I've got it all. But I want you to have all that I've got. I want to share everything with you. One of the things on this trip was the couple that we were staying with in the church, they had some children, and they had these Fisher-Price toys, you know, and they were all over the floor, you know. You know how Americans are. You know, instead of one toy, you have... When I was a kid, I had about two or three toys. But, you know, my kids, they get, you know, you're plowing through the toys all the time. It's hard to keep your room straight because you got toys coming out of the closets and stuff like that. And they never have any toys, you know. But these little kids took their Fisher-Price toys. They had airplane things and boat things and stuff like that. And they took them to these families, you know, just to their own little age group. And it was great. You know, these kids have no toys, just what Isabella was saying. They don't have any toys. They're playing out in the sewer. That's what they were doing. You know, when I was a kid, we used to do that too. But you know, you get down in the sewer and you make little dams, you know. You kneel down in the stuff and, you know, you pack that stuff together and you put it in your eyes and, you know. You know, that's all they have. They don't have anything to play with. They don't have any stuff. There aren't any toy boxes. So it was exciting to see them give it away. Now, we have so much. What are we doing with it? We're always trying to figure out some new tank that will destroy this and, you know, a bazooka, zooka, zooka, and, you know, all this stuff. And all these kids got to have all this stuff. What for? Does it make them happy? Are our kids happy? You know, they're not. Our kids are snots. Yeah, they are. They're snotty kids. You know, they're not considerate. These little kids, they have nothing, and they come up and they're happy. You know, they got their arms around one another, and you know, they don't have anything. But our kids are very sophisticated, you know, and so on. This is garbage. Now, the failure lies with us. Hello. Now, the failure doesn't lie with you, it lies with me, because I haven't told you the truth. And I'm correcting that this morning. You are to be servants. You are to serve. You are to serve when it's inconvenient. You are to give total. That is all that you have. Now, I'm not saying you have to give away every nickel, in case someone wants to misunderstand me. Then you'd be in the need list. You know, that's not essential. The idea is we're talking about the heart. We're talking about your heart. What is yours? Nothing. You're a steward. You're just a steward. You're only figuring out what to do with all these things God has given you. And most of you feel that you should keep them and hand them on to your kids so that they'll never have any problems. And you can see that. You can see that people that have a lot have no problems, can't you? You know, at least my children won't ever have to, you know, be dependent upon their own feet or hands and stuff. Why not? Why shouldn't they? Why do we have to make it easy on them? Let's make it tough on them. Hello? Why should they have everything? What good is everything? What good is everything? What is all that? Why are we here? What are we doing? You know, I mean, I got plenty. I got lots. I grew up poor. I grew up very, very poor. Poorer than most of these Mexicans I was with. I grew up in a one-room house, no plumbing, you know, outdoor house and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have a brick house. I didn't have a concrete stone house. I just had, you know, one of those fake brick things. You ever seen those orange fake brick things? You know? Anyway, that was the way I grew up. And until I was 12 years old, we didn't have plumbing. Now, big deal. Doesn't mean anything. And people around me had it. You think, well, maybe the whole neighborhood was like, no, there's lots of people that had stuff, you know. Just play out in the field by yourself, you know. You don't need a lot. Hello. I never had a gun. Nobody. I never had one of those guns, you know, you go around shooting people with. Hello. You know, you don't have to have those. Every kid today has got to have six of them, you know. You know, with, you know, K-28s and, you know, whatever they call them. You know, they know everything about everything. You don't need all that. What's all this for? Why are we here? So, the thing is, you know, you don't have to go to Mozambique. You don't have to go to Mexico. Just go right here. Right here in the church. We got people right here in the church that are hurting. Not because they need things. They need love, maybe. Maybe they need salvation. Maybe they need clearing up. You know, they're confused a little bit. We don't have that. You've got such wealth. You are the wealthiest people on the earth. What do you think you have it for? Hello. Why do you have all that? Now, look, as a church, well, that's another message. Let's look at this. Jesus said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 18. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This New Testament, in my blood, the cup shed for you. Jesus was giving himself away. He was giving himself away. How many here would rather give out of their abundance? I think all of us would. I think we'd like to have abundance. It's fun to give when you have a whole bunch salted away, and then you give a little bit, and you feel real good, because you know, you gave 1,000 or 5,000. You know, feel pretty good about that. I do. I do that. I salt a whole bunch away, and then I figure out, you know, I give a little extra, just I'll be a little bit good. Hello. That's me. I'm talking about myself now. I feel pretty good. I actually gave another 100 to Robert. You know, he'll feel appreciative for that. Hello. You ever done that? Are you as crass and crude as that? I know you are, because I'm a human being. You're just the same. Nobody's any different. You see? Everyone is as crude as you are. Only Jesus is good. You understand that? You say, well, I'm not like that. Yes, you are. You just may not have had the opportunity that I've had, but you are just as crude, just as crass. There's no love in you. Hello. It's only God. It's only God. Let's set everybody free. One of the kindest things you can do is stop being religious. It's one of the greatest gifts you could give is stop being religious, stop lying, stop faking it. You don't have any love in you or God is a liar. If you have any love in you whatsoever, then Jesus didn't need to come and give you all. He should have given you just part. If you have something decent in you, then you don't need Jesus as a Savior. You only need Him as a half Savior, 3/4 Savior, 9/10 Savior. I tell you, I need it all. Do I have any others that need it all? I need everything He's got. I want all of His salvation. He came and gave me everything. That's why Look, I'm not kind, but I am a giving person. I will give all my time, all my talent, all my energy to you so that you will give it all to someone else. I'm not interested in going to Mexico or Mozambique or any place else. That's not really my interest. My interest is right here. But sometimes you have to go yourself to find out what it's like and so on, so forth. But my real interest is here. Can we just find a few people right here that will give everything they've got to one another? You know what I'm saying? That will really be servants one of another. You know, we don't even love each other. Who cares about Mozambique or Mexico? Hello? We have nothing to say. If I can't even love my own wife, my own family, my own children. I tell you, I've gotten to this point over this trip that I realize I'm going to even be stronger than I've ever been before with my children. I'm strong. There's probably no one in the church, maybe Hans and Monica, I don't know, who is tougher on their kids than I am. I don't know, their kids aren't old enough to find out yet. But, you know, I don't care what kids want. You know, I was just a normal kid like everybody else and so on. And I don't have any sympathy for kids, you know. We got to have a Coke. We got to have this, you know. I set the rules. And over the years, being a human being, I weaken sometimes and so on and so forth. And that's good. It shows you're a human being. But basically, I can see I don't like the kind of world we have. Do you like the world we have? I don't like the snottiness and the spoiledness and the way, you know, we're always into ourselves. I don't like that, and it's my fault. I'm the only one. I don't blame my kids at all. It's me. I've got to know God to such an extent that I'm so rich in God that whether my kids reject me or not, it's not important. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what I believe is right. Even if I'm wrong, I'm going to do what I believe is right. As much as I understand the Word of God, I'm going to do it. Neil rebuked me the other day, a couple weeks ago, about something. And I have a feeling he's right. I'm not absolutely certain, but I think he's right. What I'm trying to tell you is, I don't know everything, but I'm committed to knowing everything. I want to know everything. I want to bring my life totally in line with the Word of God. And I will risk anything. And I want my children to know that. I want them to know that it costs an awful lot to be alone. When you're with God, you're going to be lonely. There's times when the crowds will thank you and people will exalt you and lift you up and magnify you and all this kind of stuff. But that's all nonsense. That's only to the time when you step on their toes and they'll get you. You know, so I don't believe any of that. But when you're a man of God, when you're a woman of God, you're going to stand alone. And I tell you, I'm a servant. I don't do this because I get paid. I do it because I want to do it. There's nothing I want to do more than to serve. That's why I study. That's why I do what I do. You say, well, you know, you were just that way. No, it's not true. I want to do it. I want to do whatever I can do to help you. If it would be to go and make cement blocks, I'd quit the ministry and go make cement blocks. But I'm going to lift up this world because, not because I'm good, I'm not good, but that's what I believe Christianity is all about. And I've already died to that other business. Hello? Hello? Amen. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
I've died to that other business. I'm not here for myself. Every dollar I have, it's yours. You want it? You got it. You know, during the trip, you know, the kids run out of money every once in a while. And I loan it out. You know, and then near the end I said, look, if anybody borrowed anything from me, it's canceled. Don't pay me back. Forget it. I didn't even keep a record of it. I have no idea. I don't care. I don't care if it was a nickel or, you know, $20. Whatever it was, forget it. Now, they don't have to. If they want to, they could, you know, come up with it. But I don't want it. I don't want anyone to owe me anything. You see? So, just forget it. It's like Jubilee. You just cancel all the debts. That makes it real easy. Then if somebody's told by God to do it, fine, do it. If God told you to do it, but you don't owe me anything. I'm just a steward of God's money. And I chose to loan it to you, and I can choose to forgive you of the debt. You see? Now, let's see more practice of practical Christianity. Hello? More generosity. You say, yeah, but I'd have to go without. Good, go without. Let's go without. We got so much. We've got plenty. Let's go without. Some of you have more than others. Good. Give it away. Pray about it. I really don't care what you keep. The idea is, here's the whole thing. The point is not how much you keep for yourself. You can keep 1 million if you want. Do you care about your neighbor? Do you really want to be a Christian? It has nothing to do with how much you have in the bank. It isn't unchristian to have 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 1 billion. There's nothing unchristian about it. It isn't the amount you have. It's what your heart's like. What's your heart like? What's your heart like? What's your heart like? Do you care for the neighbor? Have you seen the neighbor? Have you noticed you have some neighbors that are hurting? Then how can you hoard when they're hurting? You know? And I'm not trying to whip up anybody emotionally. No way. Stay here. You're a mess. You know? Hello? You see what I'm saying? We don't need a lot of people to go down and help the Mexicans, for example. Don't do it. They don't need it. Hello? Hello? You don't have that much to offer. Unless you love one another here. Unless you begin to be generous here. Unless, you see, the world ought to look at this church and say, you know, those people, I don't know, they love one another. What does that mean, that they love one another? Does it mean they're always hugging each other? That's silly. You know? That's too much of that stuff. You know, I mean, I think it's good to, you know, touch and all that kind of stuff. Okay, big deal. But let's not overdo that. That's not Christianity. You know? Let's really be practical to one another. Is there some brother who's, you know, out of a job, or some brother who's, you know, not eating? Just don't go and give it to him, but find out how you could help them. Get used to the idea that you're a servant. You're a steward. You're going around thinking, how can I serve my brother or sister? And if you run out of people in the church, then we got some neighborhoods. And if you run out of the neighborhoods, we got the city. If you run out of the city, we got Mexico next door. If you run out of Mexico, we'll go to Mozambique, okay? If you run out of Mozambique, I don't know what. Jesus will probably come back. There's plenty to do. The poor you have always. And you say, well, I don't know. Is there any poor? I haven't seen any in my neighborhood. Well, you maybe live in the wrong neighborhood. Hello? You know. Well, now, let me just say this. It's easy for us who don't have too much to jump on the guys that have a lot. You know? Don't do that. You all can, you have an abundance. Everybody here has an abundance of something. Time. Time. Talent. Treasures. You have an abundance. You have lots of abundance. You've got it. You know more about Jesus more than what they need in Mexico. I can just teach you one sentence. Estamos aquí para, you know, I can just teach you one sentence. It's enough. I only knew one sentence. But it was enough. It's enough. You don't need very much to be able to hand something out and say, this is a gift. Basically what I said was, you know, we're here to give you a New Testament. You don't have one. Praise the Lord. Gracias. You know? After a while you learn that gracias means thank you. You know? Because they smile, you know, you get the idea. They're happy. You don't need much to give away. We've got people right here in Fort Worth. Hello? We've got people right here around the church. They're ugly people. I mean, I know they're ugly people. Hello. They're not nice like we are. You know? Mean, like Byron said. Mean. Hello. Do you care? It has nothing to do with how nice you are. It has to do with whether that's Christianity or not. Is that Christianity? That's the only issue. Verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, the lords of the Gentiles, the big guys in the world, exercise lordship over them, over the little people. And they that exercise authority, the rich, the great, the wealthy, the smart, the pastors, and so on. Upon them are called benefactors. You see, that's one of the things that the world demands. If Carnegie gives a library because he stole a lot by, you know, his shrewd dealings, he wants to be called a benefactor. Hello? You know? He believed, you know, he was God's chosen man to distribute millions of dollars. You know? Now, I'm glad he gave it away. That's religion. But he didn't give all he had, did he? He didn't really care about the poor in the South or about, you know, anything else. He didn't care about anything. He'd feel guilty. Hello? I'd be the same way, wouldn't you? If I made, $1 trillion today, if the offering came in and they designated for the pastor, I'd feel I had to give, a little bit away, I'd probably, throw out, $10. And I splurge a little bit and come back and give out another, 50, No, the point is, I'm not a benefactor. I'm just selfish. Oh, he had noble words. All these rich guys, they developed this noble words stuff. They called it the gospel of capitalism. The gospel of capitalism. They did. Gospel of wealth. The gospel of wealth. That's what it was called.
That those that have a lot of things, they are to be benevolent,
It's from Christianity they got it. But it's just a religious application of it. They don't really care. Did he really find out whether that made any difference?
I gave libraries.
What he gave is monuments to Dale Carnegie. Or what his name was, Andrew Carnegie. Same kind of guy. There they are. All positive thinkers, Look, just be quiet. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't set up some monument, the Jim Borchert, great church thing, I've thought of that. Robert and I cook up some pretty good deals. It's garbage. It's not Christianity. It's human, but it's just not Christianity. Now here's what he said. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. Christianity is to be exalted. When you humble yourself, God exalts you, and you take all the exaltation, and you become a slave. You become the servant. Now, that's amazing when a master who has all the power gives it to you. What master has ever done that? No. The masters who get up on top, they always want to be called benefactors.
I give out teachings.
That's one thing I could do as a teacher.
I give out teachings. I don't just throw them out, I give them out,
I've thought of that too. I've thought, Lord, never mind what I've thought. But, no, we're servants. What we have is to give it away so that we actually bless people. I want to see a better world. I love you, but it's not me. It's Christ. But I love you. I want to see you lifted up. I don't want to see you bound in material things and bound in busy schedules and bound in, hiding all your talents. I want to see you use your talents, use your treasures, use your time to bless. Why? Because that's man. That's what God made man for, to have dominion over the earth, that we might be servants, that we might be servants, that we might be servants. I tell you, there's nothing as exciting as doing that. That not because it's a human thing, but because that's who you are. That's Christianity. That we've never seen. We haven't seen that. You don't see that. These big churches, they don't give away what they have. They give out of their abundance. Hello? They don't help. I can tell you, as a little church, we don't get anything from the big churches. And believe me, I'm not going to give, No, we don't. Nobody's ever, Bob Nichols isn't thinking about me. John Wilkerson doesn't think about me. My buddies. They don't care. They're just doing their own thing. That's fine. But the point is, when do we become servants? Well, we begin to think about our neighbor. We begin to have some neighbors. Whereas, you see, when you have everything, you have the opportunity, the temptation. If you don't have everything, you can't do this. The lesser can't serve the greater. They can't voluntarily do it. They have to do it. You see, they're slaves. You call it anything you want to do, but they're slaves. The lesser has to serve the greater. Jesus said, but it's not so with me. I came among you. I have all this. I came among you to be like this. And he identified and he said, he said, everyone who's like me, come on, follow me. So you see, he exalted all these people and he took what he had and he brought it down and he gave it to them. And he made himself equal. It's the greatest gift you could give someone, not to look down on someone. You hear in these kids talk, during the weekend, you look down on people. You jerk, give me that. stuff like that. That's looking down on someone. What Jesus did is he never demeaned himself. When people slapped him, he turned the other cheek. He said, you know, I'm not angry for my sake. Why, God can take care of a slap. You know. Whenever Jesus got angry, it was for your sake. Hello? There's a difference. You know, as a parent, you don't spank your children because you're frustrated. You spank them because they need it. It's good for them. Spankings are good for them. I always get somebody who doesn't believe in spankings. The rod is God's gift. It's the only thing by which a man may become wise. I wasn't spanked when I was a little kid. And I'm a good person. There's always somebody who says that. I raised my kids and we never had a problem. Well, you'll have a problem. You'll have a problem because you aren't going to live in the real world. Hello? We need whippings to know we can survive. You know, things don't have to go your way. If you haven't been spanked, oh, I was just so loved. Yeah, that's phony. You won't raise your kids right either. You'll have awful marriages. Hello? Speaking to some of you because you don't believe the Bible. Well, we do a little better than the Bible. We've improved. We've improved upon the Bible. You can't improve upon the Bible. Everything in this Word is absolutely the Word of God. You can't improve upon it. Spank your kids. The last time I gave a sermon on that, Robert went home and spanked Jonathan and Caleb. No, he didn't really. But he said he felt like it, you know, just for good measure. Been getting a little lax, you know. But, you know, children need to be spanked. They won't know they're loved unless they're spanked. That's the greatest way you can show them you love them. You care enough to say no. You won't do that. Right? You know, I'm not theatrical. I'm not being theatrical. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just bearing my heart to you. Servants. Take what you have. Give it away. It's hard. Sure. Good. The harder the better. You see, only weaklings can't take tough things. But we're not weak. We're not weak. You see, we're already zeros, aren't we? We humbled ourselves under the Word of God and said we don't have anything, we aren't anything. We already said that, and God said, good, then I'll exalt you. And He exalted us. Now we have everything. Is there anyone here that doesn't have everything? If you don't, come and get it. Because we exalt people. We want to honor people, lift them up, exalt them. Praise the Lord. Now, the whole purpose of having all that is to give it away. Because you get more. The more you give, the more you get. Amen. Right? Don't hoard things. Give it away. We've got a world to love. Look, don't think, well, how much do I need for my retirement? How much do I need for my kids' education? Don't think that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But that's not the kind of thinking that's Christian. I'm not against that. Fine, if you want to save for that, that's good stewardship and so on. But make sure that you don't do that at the expense of the church, at the expense of the world around you, at the expense of your neighbor. If the church is doing fine, then fine. But if there's someone who needs something, we've got to meet that need. So we can't pull back. Hello? Now, this is not a message on tithing, or double tithing, triple tithing, you know, quadruple tithing. This is a message on serving. I want you to begin servants. Now, here's the thing. For whether it is greater, he that sitteth at meat, at the table, or he that serveth, is it not he that sitteth at meat? The greater one is the one that sits down. But Jesus said, I'm among you. In other words, he said, I could be sitting up here at the table and you all could be serving me because I'm God. He said, I could be sitting there and you all could be serving me. But he says, I'm actually among you. And I'm coming down here, and I'm serving your table. I'm down here serving your table. He says, now that's a Christian. I'm among you as one who serves. I lay down my life for you. I give you everything I have. Now I'm going to ask you in a moment to make a commitment. Not in the, you know, emotions. I don't want any emotional commitments. It's faith. Is this what Christianity is all about? You see, if I read you the whole of the New Testament, which I've been looking over, you would see how many times the word all comes up. The word all. She gave all that she had in the little one that we use today out of the 21st chapter of Luke. She gave all. Not out of her abundance, but all. It's that little word all. Now again, please don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about becoming absolutely poverty stricken. We're talking about an attitude of the heart. That your whole heart is one toward, you know, what can I give to Norma? What can I give to Ruth? What can I give to Leroy? You know, who has a need? This brother, this sister, Bill Bollet. You know, I don't care about those people. Anyone else like me? Do you care for? I don't care for any of these people. I don't, in the natural. I don't care for them in the natural. But Jesus said, I do. I do? That's news to me, isn't it? I do? He says, yes. You're the servant of Norma. I'm the servant of Norma? Oh, praise the Lord. You see? I became Norma's servant. Now he says, now, act like it. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm the servant of Norman, Leroy, and Ruth. You know, no, act like it. Act like it? Practically? I don't want to. It's not convenient. Hello? Now, there's no rules here. You can't say you owe 1 hour to Norman, half an hour. There's no rules. You're just a servant. But I'll tell you this. Go to the one that has the greatest need. Where you have the gift that they need, go there. Now, that's going to be hard, but basically, don't invite the guys that are like you to your table. Go to people that you know have almost nothing. Not because they'll appreciate you. They won't appreciate it. You know, those people in Mozambique don't even know our name, or in Mexico. They don't even know our name. They can't appreciate it because they don't know who it is. You see what I'm saying? That's the ones to go to. They won't remember you. They'll just remember they got a Bible from somebody. They'll remember the Bible. They'll remember God. So don't invite your friends. That church, I don't have very many friends at that church. Well, who cares? What do you need them for? You got God. Isn't He enough? He's enough for me. He's enough for me. What are friends anyway? Just people that will let you down. There's only one friend I have who's really never going to let me down, Jesus. Now, whatever else I have, I enjoy. I enjoy everyone who, you know, comes to me and helps me. But the point is, it's not very consistent. Hello? 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 You know, how many of you, you know, well, anyway, that's not important. The point is, we're here to serve. That's true Christianity. Christianity is not religion. It's something very different. It means actually letting Jesus Christ run your life. And what He's always going to do is bring you down to serve. The dignity of man is service. You see, the communists would try to write this into law, even like in Mozambique. They make a law so everybody has to give to the neighbor. No. We do it for nothing. But look, we don't do it. Here's the point. Communism is more right than we are. Because in this nation, they give you the freedom to give it away if you want to. But what do? We hoard it. That's why communism got invented. Did you know that? Got invented because it heard the gospel and said, man, I don't believe those Christians are living up to what they're talking about. Let's throw out the God part and just keep the neighbor part. That's what communism is. Socialism. Let's skip the God part and just help the neighbor. And since people won't do it, we'll make them do it. We'll just write it into a law. That's all that it is. Now, we Christians ought to be more convincing. We're not very convincing. I know we have a fairly good reputation when you compare us to other men. But please, that's religion. Comparing us to other men is only religion. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the standard. We're not doing what He said. We're not acting like He acted. What did He do with all of His time? You know, sometimes He was tired. What did He do when He was tired? How many would like to go out this afternoon witnessing on the north side? How many would like to... Let's see what else I can make up. If you don't do that, what are you going to do? Service. You see, we're servants. That's who you are. Don't try to feel good about it. Don't try to feel like it. Just do it. It's just a faith thing. Just do it. Serve your neighbor. How many here have thought about the neighbor? I try not to think about the neighbor. He might, you know, use me. You ever been hurt by a neighbor? How many of you have ever had a neighbor hurt you? You know, we got to forgive our neighbors. We have awful neighbors. How many here have awful neighbors? You know, we have awful neighbors.
Because they're like us. Aren't they? They're like us. I tell you, Christians ought to make a difference. They ought to be like lights in this world. They ought to be lights. They ought to be lights. So that the world looks at us and says, those people are different. You see, everyone will believe religion. What they won't believe is true Christianity. They've never seen it. Why would you come to my house? You see, it's not something, if a Christian gives away a tithe, that's no big deal. That's just expected. That's the law. But I tell you, when you give 50%, or when you spend a lot of your time, or when you go when it's not convenient, they know that's Jesus. That couldn't be man. You know what I'm saying? On a consistent basis. Why not every afternoon? I was thinking this when I was in Mexico. Mexico has lots of money. There's tons of money down there. Why did I come all the way from Fort Worth to go down to Mexico to go to one of their, you know, barrios out in the outskirts? Why did I do that? And they got lots of money down there. Because the churches don't have any vision for it. The churches don't have a vision for it. I went to one of the most live, charismatic, boom, boom, great church, you know, just exactly like we are. Better. Bigger. But the point was, what kind of vision did they have for the neighborhoods? You know, here we were handing out Bibles. Why don't they do it? They could go out every afternoon. I mean, it's right there. They just drive right by it. Then I thought about us. Well, what do we do? You know, we could do it too. On our way home, we could actually go to neighborhoods and hand out Bibles. They're cheap. It's the greatest gift we could give. Everybody could buy, you know, 50 Bibles and hand out one at least on a way home every Sunday. Wouldn't that transform the city? You know, even if you just drive along and see some guy down at the bar down here. You ever notice how they have a bigger church than we do down here at the bar? You ever notice that? Hop along in or whatever they're called, you know. They got a big group. You know, I used to drive by John Wilkerson's church and think, gee, all the people he has. Then I drive by the bar and think, gee, all the people they have. You know? The big congregations there. Well, of course, we wouldn't want those kind here. Unless they cleaned up. Amen. Would we?
Yes, yeah,
why not? Oh. Well, where would they sit? Is there any room? Why, by golly, look, here is a little space. Well, praise the Lord. Servants. Jesus has called us to be servants. We are servants. How many know that you are a servant? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want us all to stand right now. Let's pray together. Father, we love you with all our heart. We are here, filled with your Spirit, truly excited that you have saved us with your blood. You have filled us with your Spirit. You have exalted us. You have filled us with good things. You have given us time. You have given us health. The ability to speak. You've given us treasures, talents, many gifts. Lord, we are stewards. We desire, Lord God, to be like Jesus, to give ourselves away. We need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen one another. It's hard to serve. It's not natural, but it is supernatural. Oh, Lord God, fill me this day with a desire to see my neighbor, to go to my neighbor, to lift up my neighbor, to be equal to my neighbor, to lower myself, to empty my coffers, to give away my mites, to use my talent, to make myself equal, to cause this world to know that that's impossible with man. But it's possible with God. It can't be done with men. No man has ever done it. But Lord God, we are filled with the Spirit of the living God. And we shall serve quietly, without noise, without fanfare, without anyone knowing. Amen. Father, I pray for this people right now. I know that there are many here who are servants, true servants. I know there are many here who do care. I know that there are many here, Lord God, that truly love you and have made that a practice. But most of us, Lord God, are just beginning to do that thing. Most of us are not used to it. Most of us are so worried about ourselves, we haven't had time to worry about the neighbor.
Lord God, transform this church into a giving church. Lord, cause us to be a church that's full of servants. Let this be a servant church. Let us know that the true dignity of man, the true greatness of being a Christian is service, is laying down our lives voluntarily, joyfully, happily, abundantly, totally for the neighbor. Giving away what we have because we have so much more. That we can never outgive you, Lord God. That if we gave away everything, that we would still have plenty left over. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that you are making this people abundant. I pray for abundance that would fall upon this people now, not only from heaven, but also from the neighbors themselves. Let one member give to another member. Let one here who has plenty give to another. Let one who has time pray then for the other who doesn't have time. Let each of us begin to serve one another, Lord God, so that we have practice when we reach out into our world, which has such a need. Mozambique, South Africa, Zaire, Zimbabwe. Lord God, we've been praying about those nations. We know that they have great needs. But Lord God, it isn't a matter of needs. It's a matter of brotherhood. It isn't a matter of needs. Their greatest need is Jesus. Our greatest need is to be what we were supposed to be, brothers. And if we have a gift and they have a gift, and if we have a need and they have a need, let's get together. I thank you, Lord God, that you are birthing among us a new vision for mission that not only reaches out to the far corners of the world, not only reaches out across the borders to Mexico and Canada, but also touches right here in our own neighborhoods. Oh, Lord God, cause this people to become a servant-like people. Let everyone here right now in the next moment design and desire in his own heart how he might become a servant today, so that we begin today. That there's someone right here in this room that needs $20. There's another that just needs a pat on the shoulder. There's another that just needs a hug. There's another that needs a word. There's someone here with a need, Lord God, that we have the means to provide because we're the great ones. You have made us great. You have exalted us. And we need to use what we have to give it to the lesser, to find someone who's lesser and give it to them. This is our true greatness. This is our true greatness. To be servants one of another. To be slaves one of another. To not regard our own needs. To not care about our own needs. To just trust them to you. And to give away. Lord, that's not a nice thing. That's an awful thing. But you said that's who we are. You said that's who we are. You said that's who we are. Therefore, let's not regard, Lord God. We won't regard. And I pray these people would stop regarding themselves and stop regarding what's convenient, what's easy. And they would begin to see that you have such abundance for us that we could never give it away. There is so much that we have, we couldn't give it away if we tried. This people is a stingy people. Let us be a generous people. This people thinks that we've been generous because we've been generous. But there's more to give because there's a world out there that needs it. And we have everything this world needs and more. We do. We've got it. And what we don't have, you'll give to us. I thank you, Lord God, that there's enough wealth here, there's enough time here, and there's enough talent here to actually conquer the whole country of Mozambique, of Mexico, of Australia, of any other country in the world. We have it, Lord God. There's no end to the ability that we have right in this room because all of heaven is at our disposal. We have miracles. We could make something out of nothing. We could actually produce something that doesn't even exist. I tell you, Lord God, you have given us everything. And this people shall be a servant people from now on with great joy, with great happiness, with great laughter. We're going to reach out to the neighbor and we're going to begin this morning. Right now, this morning, we're going to begin giving gifts. I want everyone here to just think of some gift they're going to give to somebody right now. Some gift that you're going to give to them. Just in your own heart, just decide right now, I'm going to give a gift to someone that's here this morning. Time, talent, treasure, something. Just an I love you, a God bless you, some gift, amount of money, just invite them over for dinner, something that's a gift. Go out and fix this car that broke down, whatever it is, a gift. Everybody here has some talent and we need it, and that's the church. That's Christianity. That's more than Judaism. That's more than religion. That's more than just financial tithing. That's really coming in to the fullness of God. And I thank you, Lord God. This is the greatest people. This is the most wonderful people. And I give you praise and blessing, Lord God, for surrounding me with such dear friends that are filled with the Spirit of the living God and who will not resist the Word of God, but will go home with hearts full of love and joy,
really to be servants, that they're people that are instructive, people that have wisdom because they're not afraid to hear the Word of God and do it. And I just give you praise, Lord God. It's going to start right now this morning in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to give out your gifts now. Go find somebody who has a need for a gift. Someone you've never met before. Go up to them. Hallelujah.